Okay, so we were holding in the Agaritas about another. I think let's move forward a drop, and this is now in. I have it in the. I have it in the Ein Yaakov. It's Sif Yud Beis or Simen Yud Beis. In the Gemara, it is still in the same Amud, but it's a new piece.
Rupiansky?
Yes.
You're disappearing there for a minute again.
Well, I heard buzzing from your side, so I'm not sure where. What?
Okay, maybe it's outside. Could be.
Yeah, I heard some buzzing, you know, hissing and a buzzing, so I don't know. Okay. So, Vomer Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, Kol ha-somer choyse boilem haze, Zoyche v'roi b'shos HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Shenema v'som derech ar'enu b'yesh alekim, Al tikri v'som elo v'shom derech. So the Pasuk says, so Yeshua ben Levi says, a person who evaluates his drachim, not clear what that means, but he says if somebody is shomer choysov, he's zoichet Yeshua. In the pasuk says v'som derech areni b'yesh alekim. Over that means simply the person who sets his path righteous and, you know, something of that nature. But the Gemara dashes it with Rashi says with a the it's not a sin smallest but a shin yamanis. And that's what it means. So I try to understand a little bit what does that mean, as opposed to what? Does it mean simply he does good? What does it mean he evaluates and judges, etc.? So Maral says. So let's take a look at the Chiddush HaGadol's Maral. And the Maral, it's an Amud Lamed Hey, the left hand column, the last piece. Kol Hashomer Choysav Pirish Hashomer Choysav Ve'ein Kol Hadrochim Shavim. Rak shom or choysav v'amasa sheyase, v'lo yelech kesuma b'chol maysav, zoich v'roy b'shuas olekenu. So he says the word shom or choysav means not all drachim are the same. He attaches differing values. The word shom would mean to evaluate, and he pegs different things, this being better, this being worse. And v'loyel kesum chol ma'isav, so he doesn't sort of plunge into ma'isim and then sort of wing it, so to speak. So he's zoyche v'roy b'shuas olekenu. So what exactly are we referring to? What's the mila that he's doing, and what exactly is the mida keneged mida? So the Rambam in Hilchas Deos uses this pasuk to explain what the Rambam's how the Rambam learns the v'halachta b'drachov is, what the mitzvah v'halachta b'drachov. He says that the mitzvah v'halachta b'drachov is that a person not be motivated by his emotions and feelings, but rather that the person be that the person make conscious decisions as to what it is that he's doing and what it is that he ought to do. So the Rambam is in his, that's the core of that mitzvah. It's not simply bettering your ways, it's constructing a life course based through seichel. And he uses this pasuk called Hashomer Choysav, and that's what he means exactly. I want to add a knach to that understanding of Shom. The Rav Hutner has a maimer on Shabbos. I think it is on Shabbos, you know, in his Shabbos Sukkos one. He says, "Oyhave dvoreho gedula b'choru." So he speaks about Gedula Bacharu, and he makes more or less this the following. I don't remember the exact Seder Advarim, but more or less the point comes across like this, that Adam is the Bria that came into Shabbos. Adam was created Friday for Shabbos. That's Adam. One of the unique, if not the unique koyach of Adam, is his ability to place value on things. In other words, a Baal Chai functions in many ways, tries to get what it wants, stays away from what it doesn't want, but the ability to assign value to certain things and relative value, that's Tzuras Adam. So Gedula Bachoru means they were able to choose what is great, what is important, what is significant, and so on. When we speak about the Koyach HaBechira, so at one level it means that we are unfettered and we have the freedom to do things that are more comfortable, less comfortable, but the ability to choose, meaning that we have a way of evaluating Toiv and Ra. Toiv and Ra are values, they're sort of arbitrary. Let's give an example in the secular sense. Diamonds, let's say wheat tastes better than barley. Wheat bread is, so people will eat wheat bread rather than barley. That's not a value system, really. It's simply that my taste buds are stimulated a lot more by wheat than by barley. Air-conditioned room is more pleasant than not air-conditioned room, so I will go to air-conditioned room. That's not choosing. That is simply following my pleasure sense. So it's actually it's almost following an instinct of sorts, of a physical reality. But a decision that diamonds are more valuable than gold, or doing what's good and what's right is more valuable than that which is comfortable and pleasant for the moment, that's there's no way to translate those two without assigning a value. Which flavor ice cream I like better is a taste buds stimulation contest. So vanilla stimulates my taste buds to a 71 and chocolate does to 81. So when I quote-unquote decide to eat chocolate ice cream instead of vanilla ice cream, I'm simply translating where my taste buds react more positively. But when I choose to do the good and the right as opposed to the pleasant and the comfortable, those are two separate worlds. And I need to say to myself, this world is more important, more harsh than that world. And when Yaakov and Esav made the deal, the Bechira for the Nezir Adashim, nobody fooled the other one. It was a conflict or a contrast between two value systems. On one value system, it's like, imagine a person has in his house a big box of videos that he doesn't want to look at, that he feels no longer appropriate to look at, doesn't want his kids to look at it, and someone comes along and says, I'll give you $100 for that huge box. And you say, it's a deal. Now, you would have been ready to pay someone $100 to take it out and to get rid of it. Somebody also says, the guy thinks you're a fool. These videos, each one is worth whatever it is, $30, $40. It's a huge box full of videos, providing hundreds and hundreds of hours of entertainment. It's a clear, you are fooled. Esav's and Yaakov's selling the Bechor from Nezir Adashim, it's not a question of Yaakov fooling him. Yes, yeah. I'm fading out. I hear a buzzing. Now it's better.
Now it's better, yeah.
Yeah. So we have to find who the buzzer is. The Torah provides the transition of Bechira or Avodas Hashem from Esav to Yaakov based around the relative sense of values. It wasn't the pshat that he fooled him. It just wasn't. Of what value is a big shas with marvelous print and wonderful to somebody who can't read this stuff and his grandfather left it over and it's just in boxes in the basement? It's worth nothing. A bowl of soup is more than enough compensation. So the real Tzuras Adam is the value you ascribe to things. There's the famous Rabbi Yona that the I put the quotes in a lot it says ish kefi mahalalo, a person is valued by his praises. The pashto pshat is how people praise him, but Erefutnet Rabbeinu teaches it, a person is that which he finds praiseworthy. So if I find wealth to be praiseworthy, I say, oh, these people are phenomenally wealthy, they're awesome, so that means that for me money is of great value. I say these people are big and strong, full of rippling muscles and stuff like that, so I've given my sense of what's good and what's positive. That's my sense of things. So everything is kefi, what is the level of chshivus that I ascribe to it. That's the ultimate in bechira. Bechira means to choose one over the other. The Gemara says in Gittin that how do I distinguish a gadol from a katan if I have two items that look similar? Tzroyer v'zorik eges v'notel. I have a some sort of little rock that looks like a nut, and I have a nut, and I can distinguish the two. That makes me a gadol. In other words, I can look past what they look like, and I'm able to evaluate their content and make a decision which one to keep, which one to throw out. So shuma, the ability to be sham, is a very, very intrinsic part of the Adam as Tov, Adam as a Bocher, and so on. So when a person applies that to his Maisim, in other words, he runs every Maisa through some sort of evaluation. This is Kedai, this is not Kedai, this is better, this is worse, and so on. Then that's a chshivas of a person. So kol hashomer choisav, he's zeicha v'roi b'shua salakeinu, v'dova zeroyu, mishesham ar choisav, v'in masa muravin, rak bashkocha maisa, v'shon doch maisa, was a zocha lir ois b'shua salakeinu, shekan sedem evolbul rak mushkach. So he says, the Maral says, the mida keneged mida is that if I place everything in its appropriate slot, everything around I put in where it belongs, so too will HaKadosh Baruch Hu put all the pieces in place for me. And that's what I'll be zocher to see Yeshua Salakeinu. That's the way the Maral explains it. There's a little bit of a different way you could explain it using the same idea. Let's first see his second point, and then for oid ki asham drachov shein oisa meise bedas rishon klal rak oimer im yaser lekach vekach viyove deira ulefikoch zeiche v'roi b'shus alikenu shehanagos leil pinagur shein shein hagat teva rak han hagal yoina loikis yois lemar lan hagur shein. So the Maral gives a second way of looking at it, and it's kind of similar to what I'd like to say. The Maral says, if a person, whenever we do things on impulse, or let's call it at first glance reaction, so somebody yelled at me, I yell back. So that's always an interaction at a surface level. Because the first thought, what he calls the muskel rishon, das rishon, what he calls, means the most superficial thought. Because if somebody asks me, what'd you see? So the first thing I'll do is I'll describe the outside of the scene. When I think about it, I will think into it and describe something deeper, and so on. So if a person's own approach to things is as it greets the eye, no second thought to it, then the world is a fairly random world, and the world, so here's a guy, he does averis, and everything's okay. This guy does mitzvahs and nothing's okay. So clearly mitzvahs don't help, and maybe they even somehow... Yes?
I'm buzzing again on your side. We can't hear you so well again.
Okay.
Now it's better.
Okay. So the second pshat nemaral is, when I look at things with what I call das rishon, that means... it's my first take on something. By definition, the first take is always the most superficial. It deals with the chitzonius, and the zelumase is when Hashem does things, when there's hashkacha pratis active in the bria, it never ever can be taken at. It can never be understood at. It can never be comprehended at its initial take. The initial take in this world is a Tevedika world where everything does its own thing, and everything is sort of plodding along. That's what the world is to us. Whenever you have a second look, and a third look, and a fourth look, that's where you begin to see hashkacha. Hashkacha is always evident. The further down you go, the more you understand the hashkacha. So the chitzonius of the world is mikra. It's, you know, random events happening. And the deeper you look, the more it comes together. So a person whose own hanhagin avodas Hashem is random. A mitzvah came up, I did it. Aveira came up, I stayed away from it. What else happened, I don't know. So then the person is used to taking things at sort of as they come, and he'll never be able to see or the hair HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Hashkach and the Bria. Masha Einkein, if the person is used to seeing things with their depth and seeing into something, that person has a chance of the hearing HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Hashkacha. So the Zelu Maseh Kol Hashomer Chayso Ba'olam Zoche V'Roye B'Shosh HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So he says it Ke'ilu maybe HaKadosh Baruch Hu does more for him, but I think it means it's a skill, so to speak, that enables him to see in the same way HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Hashkacha. HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Hashkacha is everywhere. The question is, what type of glasses do we have? If far or nearsighted? If we don't, you know, if a person's approach to things is kind of just the outside surface, he'll never see Hashkacha. And his own Avodas Hashem is going to be kind of random. HaKadosh Baruch Hu tossed the mitzvah his way, he'll do the mitzvah. HaKadosh Baruch Hu tossed vera vera. He will go through many things without even knowing that there was an opportunity here or something that he did that was amiss. But a person who is Shomer Chaysav, that's something that he's able to see it. So I guess the Hadgosha would be more on the word Zeche V'Roya B'Yeshua Salikeinu. Yeshua Salikeinu is always happening, except that we need to be able to notice it, and the avoda for building the skill to notice it is Shomer Chaysav.
Does someone need a certain amount of intelligence to be able to do this, or not? Is it not really? It's based on intelligence.
It's not intelligence as much as it's care to do so. It takes effort. It takes focus. It also takes putting my sense of pneumius, my sense of long-term over short-term. It's just like, my body's or my outermost shell reacts as is. Let's take a simple example. A person has interactions with children, spouse, workers, and when you're annoyed, your reaction is to blow up. But if you were to look at about, to be able to think deeply about it and say, let's figure out what's happening, what's he doing, what's the best reaction to get the person to do what I want him or her to do. The person would think very differently, but we're so obsessed with the chitzonius, the person said X or Y or Z, that we respond very chitzonistic. And it takes an effort to become a more pneumistic person. It takes a desire to focus and to think about it and to think into something rather. It's like a chess player. It's not a question of how bright. You can have a very bright person, but if he doesn't have the zitzfleisch to sit and to think the moves through, he will slip, because at first glance, even if you're very bright, you can only get a certain amount. But if you have a lot more patience, then you'll sit and think through the moves until the end. That's why I don't think the word intelligence as much as...
We just lost you again, a second here.
Okay.
Now it's fine.
Now it's fine.
No, it's very strange. Unless it's just something with your microphone, it just hits a point where it jams up. I don't know.
I can switch. You know what? I'll switch. I'll be glad to switch the mic, and let's see if that does it. I have it right here. So I'll take out the mic and put in the other. Hope it'll work, Bechlal, because I think it's supposed to switch. Well, we'll see.
Okay.
Hello?
Yeah, we can hear you.
So I have the other mic on now. Let me just see. Give me another second, because this requires high tech here. Recording devices. Okay. PNP. Okay. Sound. Recording. 1 second. Configure properties, maybe. Levels, 100. Okay, is this good?
Yeah, fine.
Okay, hopefully it'll yetov. So lemaisa, when we have that type of shomer chaysav is something where the person's approach to avodas Hashem is by evaluating rather than by just doing things as it is. That's the point. Okay, let's see the next piece of Gemara. Maybe I add one more knetch. I just like, once we're talking about it, the pasuk speaks about shomer chaysav, and this is where the Rambam actually I think gets his mahalach from. The Rambam, when he speaks in Hilchas Deis, speaks about Darche Hashem, Valachta Bidrochav. That's where Hilchas Deis is learned from. So when any one point that I'm at is a physical reality. So this is my makom. I'm standing in this place. That's a description. It's a physical description. Anytime I'm going on a road, that requires some sort of algorithm, it's some sort of das as to where those nekudos are being put together. If a wind blows me to this and this makom, I'm in this and this makom. But if a wind blew me from makom to makom, I can't say that I went from this place to this place. I didn't go. I was blown about by the wind and then landed over there. So anytime we're talking about a v'halachta bedrachav, it requires that type of human determination of points that lead to a certain tachlis. Okay, the next Gemara is yes.
Just one on the previous.
Sure.
It seems also that the avoidedika way to do this is you can't respond immediately, right? Like if someone
100%.
You have to stay 1 or 2 days, think about it, and then answer back instead of just a knee-jerk reaction. You know, that's just a way to decompose.
That is 1,000% correct. In other words, it's almost by definition that, and this is what he says over here, that anything that is das rishon is automatically, and therefore, when a person has to respond, a person needs to think it through. It's hubris to say that my first thought is going to be the right. So if you're an emergency responder, you must respond in a second. So what you do with emergency responders is you train them so it becomes a reflex instead of a thought. But once you have a few days to think about something, then that's what the few days are there for. And the whole, if you look at the Gemara is constructed with Havamina Pirchas, Maskanes, and Shinuyim. It's meant, so to speak, to convey the sense that I'm going from point to point to point to point. And I don't snap the answers immediately. It's very interesting. There were Hasidic Rebbes who Dafka answered off the top of their heads. One could make some nasty remarks about that, but their shita was as follows. I don't believe that I have the seichel or the das to be able to appropriately give a person advice in such a difficult circumstance. It's only that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, b'schus of the person, b'schus of my holy fathers, b'schus of something or other, that I'm zocha to be able to give appropriate answers. So that includes in itself, so by doing it off the top of my head, I'm making a statement. It's not me that's answering, it's, you know, Bilodai, Elokim Yanes Paro. That's the type of, so they agree to the same principle, but they feel that the application for them is Adrabat to just, these are the words that Kadosh Baruch Hu put in my mouth. These are the words that tumbled out of my mouth. And that's why it's I'm just a conduit, and it's Siyata Dishmaya that Kadosh Baruch Hu is answering you. So it's the same idea, but it's just coming from a different type of mahalach.
That's why we did it.
the morale when he speaks in Pirkei Avos about the Shiva Dvarim beGoylim veChilufeim beChacham, he says that all of those seven items are, they all point to a certain structured thinking as opposed to, what's the word from it, shooting from the hip. Listening to someone bigger than you, thinking, not answering immediately, loyot bohol lahashiv, all those seven things point to one thing, which is structure, and that's why it's important that's why a chacham is somebody whose thinking process is structured, and a goylem is somebody who's not. That's more or less what the Maral says over there. So it does fit in very well. It's exactly like this. What else I wanted to say? It's very interesting. You have a musig in the Torah called erechin, which means placing value. In Hegdish you have shuma. Placing value is something that requires a seichel and a das to give it its relative use or its relative whatever it is. There's an old famous mashal, I'm sure you must have heard it as children. If you did, just tell me. You know, about the person that went to this country that had gold and silver all over the place. You'll tell me briefly it's a mashal that I've heard it many times as a young boy. There was somebody who heard about a medina where gold and silver is like dirt, and onions are very, very expensive. So if you bring them a bag or two of onions, you can get like a whole shipload of gold and silver. So, you know, he figured sounds like a good deal to him. And he got himself a lot of onions, which in, you know, Eastern Europe was kind of dirt cheap. He sailed down to Africa and he came there, and sure enough, they were right. And he stacked up a huge amount of gold and silver, you know, for the box of onions that he brought, and he was very, very happy indeed. And as he lived there, it began to dawn on him more and more that, you know, onions are really the most valuable thing. I mean, gold and silver is a tchotchke, but onions taste good and they're wonderful and they're scarce and so on and so forth. So he took, as time went on, he took all of his gold and silver, exchanged it for onions, and went back to Europe with onions. And the mashal, the nimshal, is that, you know, a person comes to this world and it's so easy to get schusim. For, you know, for a few pennies you buy tzitzis, for you give a penny tzedakah, you sit and learn this and that, and person comes very enthusiastic, but as he's more and more part of this world, he begins to value the few pennies more, and you know, and he at the end he comes back with this, you know, with the same onions that he left. That's a kind of a classic mashal that I've heard, but it's the same idea that a society should value A over B over C. I once had, there was a person on the Lower East Side, a very bright person actually. He was a mathematician. He read philosophy. I mean, he was a highly intelligent, educated fellow. He worked as a diamond cutter or something, as a diamond dealer for a living. Not well-to-do particularly, but he always loved to argue. And I remember once having this big argument. He felt that gold is only valuable because it's scarce. There's nothing about gold that really makes it so valuable. So I asked him, what about diamonds? So he said, well, diamonds are inherently something very, very valuable. So I asked him why. And I mean, he could come up with the fact that diamonds can cut stuff really well. But I told him that's not what drives up the price. Those diamonds are sold by the boxes, not by the carat. That's not it. It's people's sense that they feel that this is chashuv. That's all. There's no other explanation for it. You know, but he was adamant, I guess because his line of business, he wasn't going to back off on that one.
The truth is, add a rubber on diamonds, right? Diamonds have got a very inflated value. They've been kept artificially high. That's just a side point, you know.
Yes.
The De Beers company kept them high.
Yes. You know, but and also
the diamond that you bought like 180 years ago is worth less than it is. The same diamond is worth less today. You know, that's.
They're also famous. I mean, they're the ones who had diamonds are forever, and that's the only thing that you can give a collar that will please her. And it's considered one of the most brilliant advertising. You know, slogans ever.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. Let's see another piece. So we'll start the next piece. Yes? You wanted something? No, okay. The next piece is so there's a small piece here in Velch Vaisich Ach. I'm going to skip that. There's no morale on it. There's not much on it. Dav Zayin Amid Aleph. There's the Mishnah. They would take it to Yerushalayim. They would be Ma'ayim Aleha. And they would try to get her to confess. And they would tell her, you know, a lot of times it's not your fault, a lot of times it's bad neighbors, bad people, etc. And, you know, please confess so that we don't have to erase HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name. And it goes through the whole process. So, next piece is the Gemara. And again, it's Yud Gimel if you're looking at Yaakov, and it's Daf Zayin and Aleph in the Gemara. Tana ban Oimel from the Divrei Hagada, Umaasim Sheiru Biksum Reishonim, Kegoina Shechachomim Yagidu Vlekochim Avoisam, Yehuda Hoide Vle Boish Maya Besoif Zach Yerushalayim Haba, Reuven Hoide Vle Boish Maya Besoif Zach Yerushalayim Haba, Umaschoron, so much as Maschoron Kigaminon, El Maschoron Balam Haza, Lehem Levada Nita Oretz, Lovazor Betocha. So the whole piece of Gemara here is talking about the Maila of being Moida on Averis that a person did, and that's why he's so much. So it says here that there are two things that are associated with being Moida. One is that Zoch of Yosh Chaylom Haba, and then there's also a Schar Bolom Hazer. There are two Schars for it, and that's what we try to entice it with by telling you you have both in Yanim over here. What's the reason that you would have both in Yanim? What's the reason why you would have a schar here and a schar there and so on? So let's see the morale. We'll see one piece, the first piece. Pirish lekach zochem haba ki ha'hoidah mashemayde berabim chetoy v'hukvish as yitzroy shegoyval yitzroy mechatasi v'ein safek kizel kvish as yitzroy bekoach v'hinei omesalek yitzroy sheish la'odem mitzarol mazeh gashmi v'zeh zochem haba. So the first thing Maral says is it's a certain kvish as yitzroy that a person is willing to come forth and be moda, and b'meila you zochah to olam haba, olam hazeh. This is an hagah that shayach to olam haba, that olam hazeh, and that's why it's like that. I think the Maral is not specific about what type of kvishas hayetzah. The pashtus is the kvish hayetzah being embarrassed of people's disapproval, things of that nature. I think there's a deeper knach in the Maral. I think the Maral means that it's something that is. Yes.
It's gone soft again, okay, and now it's better. Whenever I ask you, it's better, okay.
Okay, I guess it's voice controlled. I did hear hissing all the time. So it could very well be something with the Skype. I don't know, if maybe find some other platform that's better. I have no idea.
That's okay, okay.
Yeah, so I think it means when a person is identified with a Yetzer Hara, I'm doing X, Y, or Z. To be Maida means I'm disassociating myself, divorcing myself from that Yetzer Hara. I no longer see it as being something good. I see it as something to be embarrassed with. Most things we do that are Yetzer Hara, the person tends to be kind of proud of it, into it. This is the person. This is what I want. This is what I like, this is what I'm proud of. So there's a certain element in being moda that's a kvishas yetzah on the etzim. So it's not just kvishas yetzah on embarrassment and desire for, you know, approval and so on, but I think it's a deeper knach on thing itself. We'll see if we met some next time. Okay, so we'll hold it here. By the way, I hope to be in at Shul a little bit earlier. My grandson became a chassan, my oldest Nosebe. Grandson. Yeah, so Nosebe. I don't know yet when the chassan is. It.